Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. As I continue to preach in your hearing, The Authority of Christ, part 2, How to Overcome Doubt. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 931, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1290, since January the 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 11, the Word of God, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. I will not give you 2 cents for a person who says they are called by God to preach, but they don't preach. Called by God to teach, but they don't teach. That's what Jesus did. After he trained and taught and encouraged and helped his disciples to understand what the mission was, he went back to doing what he was here to do. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. What many preachers need to do is what some commentators have told some sports figures: shut up and dribble. Shut up and play basketball. Shut up and play football. And what we need for preachers to get back to doing is shut up with the politicking and preach, man. In season or out of season, there is power in preaching in season or out of season anywhere in the world. I don't care if it's in the wilderness where John the Baptist was. There's value in preaching. It is the greatest form of communication in the history of this world. And if you want to follow the example of Jesus Christ, and you know God has called you to preach, then preach. But in a sense, every Christian is called to preach, because the Great Commission is for everybody in the body of Christ. Everybody can do something in the area of witnessing and sharing the gospel. It was so important that that's what Jesus, after he spent some time with his disciples, that's what he went back to doing. Now, when John had heard in the prison, that is John the Baptist, the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? This is a clear expression of doubt, whether you like it or not. But notice how Jesus answers him. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. Remind John. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Ghost, your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings and benefits that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the great seasons of prayer that you've allowed us to enjoy throughout this day. Thank you for what you've allowed us to accomplish. And Holy Father God, we individually and collectively, we confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Lord, you know all about us. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, in spite of constant satanic attack, constant Judas attack, constant having even family members who are enemies, my greatest enemies in the work, having to deal with that. Lord, I thank you for giving me the grace and those who are with me the grace to plow through, to minister to thousands each day in so many different ways. By your might, by your power, for Lord, we are reminded of your holy word that says, it is not by might, that is our might, our strength, not by power, not our power, but by my Holy Spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So Lord, it's all yours. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit in the measure that you see fit. We know that we're in a hand-to-hand battle with the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Lord, we know the devil hates what we're doing with the gospel going out of here anywhere from 5 to 6 times a day, now 3 to 6 times a day, each and every day. And your holy word being taught, and the thousands of podcasts that are out there, and sermons and everything that are out there already being listened to and watched all over the world. The devil is mad at what you have done with us. And he is mad that we are praying on the hour, standing up and praying on the hour, sending out texts to encourage others to pray at the top of every hour. That's one of the main reasons why he's mad at us. And then he's mad at us, Lord, because we send out your holy word at the bottom of the hour, reminding people of what your holy word says, passing out gospel literature, preaching the gospel each and every day. And so, Lord, help your people not to get weary in well-doing, and to remember the song, after a while, by and by, they will know all about it. And so, Lord, we pray tonight for fresh unction and anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray tonight for souls to be saved and Christians to be revived. And Lord, we pray for Christians who are hurting tonight, some who are under persecution, some families who have serious illness in their family. Lord, encourage them and comfort them and heal them. And Lord, protect those who are being persecuted in Nigeria, China, and other places. And Lord, the thousands of prayer requests that we have on our list right now, we pray that you would touch each and every person We pray, Lord, that you will comfort them as only you can, help them to turn their eyes upon you. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, life, protection, and provision blessings, Lord, upon them all. And, Lord, deliver them from their afflictions and troubles and problems, and do the same for us. And we pray that you will help everybody to endure hardness as a good soldier and be cheerful and joyful in the midst of tribulation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in Du Gude said, even doubting, thoughts and feelings that border on sin are better laid out before the loving, gracious eyes of the Lord than nursed in our hearts. God will not be shocked. Jesus will not be shocked at your feebleness, your weakness, your fears and your doubts, for he knows what is in us, and he knows how feeble we are, for he knows our inmost thoughts anyway. He already knows it. In Albert Einstein's early days, physicists had scratched their heads for some 50 years over the unexplainable orbit of the planet Mercury. Newton's theories of gravity had served well for centuries to understand the orbits of all of the other planets. But in Mercury's elliptical orbit, the point nearest the sun drifted by a very small amount. Astronomers theorized that another small hidden planet, which they named Vulcan, might orbit near the sun and exert gravitational force on Mercury. However, Vulcan was never discovered. Then Einstein formulated his general theory of relativity. When he applied this gravitational formula to the eccentric orbit of Mercury, he had one of the breathtaking moments of his scientific life. The numbers fit. Mercury was a mystery no more. My life will on occasion have an orbit like Mercury, and your life will occasionally have an orbit like Mercury that for a time simply defies my best efforts and your best efforts to explain it. Nonetheless, as surely as there is order in the universe, there is a heavenly reason for my circumstances utterly consistent with God's word and character. I just cannot understand it yet. We doubt because, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have all of the facts. We don't see the big picture. We're not God. And this is why I say to you, and I've said to many others, prayer reminds you that you're not God. And by the way, how many of you were perplexed? You were in a quandary. You were in a tight spot. And you really did not know what to do. And then you finally prayed. And while you were praying, God, zip, bam, boom, gave you the answer to your problem. And so instead of worrying about difficult situations, falling into doubt, pray more. Pray without ceasing. By way of laying the foundation and the background and gaining more background regarding this passage, which is my custom, and by way of introduction, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said regarding this passage rather eloquently, John the Baptist was in prison in the fortress of Macarius, because he had courageously, as the prophet he was, denounced the adulterous marriage and relationship of Herod Antipas and Herodias. Some people today would have told John, mind your own business, John. Leave these people alone, John. Everybody's divorced now, John. But John, it was something like a fire shut up in his bones. He couldn't be quiet. And it cost him. And as you know, I add things along the way. Make sure you don't touch that right there. It seems that the Jewish leaders would have opposed Herod and sought to free John, but they did nothing. Their attitude toward John reflected their feeling toward Jesus Christ, for John was the forerunner of Christ. John had pointed to Jesus and honored him highly, as he should. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. It is not difficult to sympathize with John, is it? As he suffered in prison. He was a man of the desert. Yet he was confined indoors. He was an active man with a divine mandate to preach. And like his master, like his savior, he was about the business of preaching. Nearly 35 years ago, I wanted to help God. God called me to preach, but I wanted to help God take care of me. And I tried this and that, and God would shut it down, and I didn't know why. He finally told me, he said, son, somebody needs to be full-time for me. And I have chosen you to be full-time for me. I want you to be full-time. I want you to preach the gospel around the world full-time. But I wanted to help God, and I kept trying, and he kept chastising me, and it made it very clear to me, I want you to preach. That doesn't mean every preacher needs to be full-time. I'm just saying, if God called you to preach, you better get to preaching. I don't care how you do it. He was an active man with a divine mandate to preach, yet he was silenced in jail. He had announced judgment, and yet that judgment was slow in coming, and judgment seemingly came on him by the powers that be. He received only partial reports of Jesus' ministry and could not see the total picture. He didn't have all the facts. Our Lord's reply to John revealed both tact and tenderness. He reminded John of the Old Testament prophecies about the works of Messiah. John's disciples had already told him what Jesus was doing. But Jesus asked them to show John again, remind John. John had come in the spirit and power of Elijah, and even Elijah had his days of discouragement. Jesus assured John that he was fulfilling the Father's will after answering John. Jesus then praised him. John is a goat. Jesus called him one of the greatest prophets of all time, or the greatest prophet of all time. John was not a popular preacher who catered to the crowd and to the people. Nor was he a reed in the wind who vacillated with every change. He was a man of conviction and courage, the greatest of the prophets. The fact that John was privileged to announce the Messiah gave him this high position. His ministry marked the climax of the law and the prophets and the beginning of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. What an honor. What an honor. Isn't it amazing how God can honor us, bless us, and give us a high calling? And because of trouble, because of tribulation, because of jail, because of lawsuits, these same men of God, these same great giants of the faith can get discouraged. One of the reasons why, when we find somebody that we can honor and give God the glory for, is because I have found down through the years some of these great men of God that God has used greatly and mightily, and never got a word from the millions who they have helped, and their lives were changed, their families were saved, because some of the most sensitive, some of the most some of the greatest or greatly used men of God are easily offended and are hurt by the lack of love and appreciation and even downright attacks from family members, friends, forsaking them, Judases, stabbing them in the back. There are so many great, greatly used men of God who are hurting. And they don't even realize how much God has used them. And one of the reasons why they don't is because God does not allow them to realize it. See, John the Baptist did a great thing, man. He had a great calling. But I can almost assure you that he didn't realize how great his calling was. Thus, the doubts. He probably didn't even think he did his job right, because I'm in jail. And so when you come across a true man of God, and there are not many, thank God for them and let them know you thank God for them. Encourage them. I guarantee you they will appreciate it. Their hearts will be encouraged. And with that tonight, since we are running late, I'm going to leave it at that. And we will continue tomorrow. Don't worry. If the Lord tarries is coming and we live, I'll be right back here tomorrow. I just laid the foundation for you tonight. And I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't worry about what people are doing to you or against you. Jesus made it very clear to you and to me and to all of us as Christians. In this world, you shall have tribulation. This is why I have encouraged you, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what God wants you to do. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this is why I have encouraged you to pray every now and then. Lord, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. Bad things are going to happen in life. That does not mean you should doubt. You should rise in faith. And you should pray without ceasing. No matter how you feel or what you think, pray without ceasing. Read the Word of God and believe the Word of God. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for the life of John the Baptist. And we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful passage of Scripture. Lord, help us to understand it. Help us to love it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to receive comfort from it. Make us, Lord, to be an encouragement to other preachers who are struggling and who do not realize how much you have used them because the devil is beating them down. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'd remove all doubts, all fears, all anxieties, all troubles from the minds of your people, and help them to rest in your holy word, to trust in you, to pray without ceasing. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner. and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God, from the Pope on down, from the Dalai Lama on down. Everybody has sinned against God. I don't care how important people look to you. From the President on down, everybody has sinned against God. We're all guilty, wicked, evil, wretched sinners. Second today, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of our sins. Our bodies are put into a grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never trusted Christ as Savior. Third, accept the fact that you're on the road to hell. Right now, as I speak, you don't have to do anything else. You're already lost and on your way to a devil's hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. And I mention that because Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Hell is a very real place, and it is a place to avoid. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. For hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ himself also said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Yes, it is as simple as that. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Get free. Get saved from hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If you want to be saved tonight, make sure that you believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. He took your place. He was buried, and then he rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. This is a fact. So believe on Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If you're willing and ready to pray the prayer tonight, follow me in what we call the sinner's prayer, calling upon the name of the Lord, and repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by dishonoring my parents, disobeying my parents, coveting and lusting after people and things, taking your holy name in vain, and many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that He died for my sins. As the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, that He really died, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our many other emails, and let us know, wherever you are in the world, whatever language you're listening to, for we have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. And dear friend, until next time, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.